Whatever you are. Parshas Bo. We want to understand the thematic union of the parsha, the thematic unity of the parsha. Every parsha was cobbled together by Klal Yisrael with a thematic focus, as we have studied many times in the past. And my question for you is Parshas Bo. It seems like it's starting in the middle of the story. There have been seven makos on Parshas Vayera. There are three to go. Famously, the Baal HaTurim says Bo b'gematria 3. It's connected to three makos. We think it's a cutesy remez. It's obviously more than that. But it seems like it's starting in the middle of the story. And then the grand drama, the climactic about the Yetzias Mitzrayim happens. Is Bo really same old, more Gili Hashem, more Amuna? Or is it really introducing something new? Something thoroughly new? And obviously it is. What is it? What is the theme of Parshas Bo? The truth is, even from a Pshuto Shel Mikra perspective, it's clear that Parshas Bo is introducing something new. It's not same old, more Makas. Because how does Parshas Bo begin? Pre-Makas Arba. The Ribbono Shel Olam sends Moshe Rabbeinu with an explanation. He justifies the mission to Moshe. Bo al Paro, you know why you should do this, Moshe? And go warn him about the impending plague of locusts? Hey! I have miracles to do, number one. Number two, Ulamata Saprapa Azni Binchu Ben Binchas Shah Salati Mitzrayim. You have a story to relate to your children of how I mocked them in Mitzrayim. Why do you need a justification? There have been seven makas. Continue to do the makas. Continue the ring and roll of the ten makas for the same reason that you've been doing makas since the beginning of last week's parasha. Apparently, no! The end of Parshas Va'era Barad was in fact a conclusion. A process was over. A new justification for a new process was necessary. This is clear in Pshuto Shel Mikra if we actually take Pshuto Shel Mikra seriously and listen with a sensitive ear, right? And shed childish impressions, right? Ten makos, makos, ten, and of course they're a unit and so on and so forth, right? The mitzvah were punished again and again. It's not again and again, right? There's something actually new happening here. And the Rishonim already touch on this issue. The Rishonim touch on this issue. When I speak of the Rishonim tonight, I am putting together a piece of Rashbam and a piece of Ramban and others. It's pretty explicit in the Rishonim. They explain exactly what's going on here. So there was a major breakthrough which happened at the end of Parshas Va'era, at the end of the Makkah of Barad. For the very first time, Paro admitted that he was wrong. He said at the end of Parshas Va'era, Chatasi, Hashem Atzadik Vani Vami Harasham, I'm wrong. Well, in a certain sense, that achieves the mission. Paro's wrong. I would suggest further in Parshas Va'era itself, at the onset of the Makkos, it says, V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. They know it. They've acknowledged it. Mission accomplished. Parshas Bo has to say, but there is a new mission. Good. I defeated the Mitzrayim. Paro is in the pitiable, vanquished spot. The Makkos are really not about him anymore. He's now an object. He's now an object for a great Jewish story. Lamata Saper Ba'azni Pinchu Ben Bincha. You understand how Parshas Bo, it doesn't say anything about Paro anymore. He's been vanquished. Right? Laman Shisi Osa Ela Bekirbos. These miracles happen amongst them, the Mitzrayim, but it's not about them. They're props. It's Lamata Saper Ba'azni Pinchu Ben Bincha. We need more revelation. It's not about Paro, it's about us. And I want to bring out this understanding further, and this seismic shift in the focus of the Makkos between Parshas Va'era, Parshas Bo, and the broader themes of the two respective Parshias. Paro, as we said, has been defeated. And you see this change in focus from defeating the Mitzrayim to really a great Jewish story. Less about Mitzrayim and more about us. You see this from a very powerful scriptural pattern here of back-to-back expressions. At the end of Parshas Va'era, In that last Makkah of Barot, it spoke about Saper. Parak Tas Pasuk Tazayin. V'olam bavur zos hameditika bavur haroschas kvodi uloman saper shmi. Hashem says, I want you, Paro, to be Mesaper, to talk about me. Beginning of Parshas Bo, a mere few psukim later, uloman tesaper ba'azni b'incho ben b'incho. Same expression, storytelling. But not a, now it is not so Paro tells a story. Now it's not uloman saper shmi b'chol ha'aretz. It's uloman tesaper ba'azni b'incho. It's the quintessential Yiddish experience, Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, which is derived from this pasuk, that lashon. Right? It's no longer Paro telling the story. It's the Jewish telling of the story. New focus and powerfully brought out by the back-to-back expressions at the junction of two parshas, L'man Saper Shmi is becoming L'man Tesaper Ba'azni Bincha Ben Bincha. Because as we said, Paro has been vanquished. And you see this. You see this in the tone in the beginning of Parshas Bo. Moshe's approaching Paro with a certain added confidence. Paro's a nobody. For the very first time, he doesn't simply just tell Paro, let my people go. But you know what he tells Paro? The gall of you. He says in the beginning of Parshas Bo, An masa miyan talanos mipanai. When will you become humble? When will you become meek? He's never spoken that way to Paro before in Vayera. Paro's the grand king on his grandiose throne. And it's, will you let my people go? Pretty please, pretty, no pretty pleases anymore. When will you become meek? We understand exactly where that pasuk fits in. The focus has shifted. Paro's pitiable. Paro's vanquished. And he's been kept up as a prop here to allow a great Gilui Hashem and a great Jewish story to emerge. When Paro keeps saying no, at this stage, when he says, I will not let them go, everyone sees right through him. And that's why for the very first time in the beginning of Parshas Bo, we find before the Makkah even happens, for the first time, what do Paro's servants say? Let them go! Hateru teidaki abdem Mitzrayim! This didn't happen before. Don't you see the pattern here and it's all coming together? Hello, to anyone with open eyes, it's clear. Paro, you're a bumbling idiot, right? You are under the pressure of divine hardening of the heart. But at this stage in the game, it's clear to everyone Paro's been vanquished. He's been kept almost on a divine respirator. He's been propped up because Hashem is a great Gili Shechina and Jewish story, L'mata Saper Ba'aznei Bincha. And perhaps that's part of the Hesalalti B'Mitzrayim, the mocking of the Mitzrayim. I have to say, this reminds me of a story, can't even say from my childhood, I have to admit age, from my young adulthood. And I feel so old because some of the Shonim here probably were not, if they were alive, they were probably not B'nai Dastan, right? I feel so old here. I'm going to make mention of the Iraq War, Lahavdil, right? Now, to me, that's like a mockum of a time of my formative life, right? No, okay, I'm talking about the more recent one, under George W., not under the Tata. Yeah, I was not. So I'm never going to forget when they invaded Lahavdil. I'm just going to bring the Sabra to Eisen. When they invade Iraq, you remember that Iraqi information minister who, as the American troops were invading Baghdad, the guy was saying in Arabic, oh, the American crusaders are not coming, blah, 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 blah. And as they were running over, right, down the Tigris, and he made such a laughing stock of himself, Ad Kedei Kach, you had toy companies that called him Baghdad Bob, and they had these bobbleheads they were producing where you kind of would wind it up and it would say the American crusaders are never out. Okay, those who were not B'nai Das at that time, right, the young elite, do not know what I'm referring to. They're looking at me the way I would look at it when the older Dar would talk about Nixon and Rockefeller checkered pants Republicans and all that. But the point is, Paro at this point, everyone's like, hello, you're Baghdad Bob. You're bumbling. Come on, you're getting yourself in trouble. That's Mamash and the Pshut Lashemikah, what's going on here. And it's all by design. Paro's done with. B'man Tzapar Shmi B'chol Arts has now shifted. Right, Ulmanta Saper Ba'azni Bincha Ben Bincha. His people get it, everyone gets it, besides the crazy tyrant himself. And thematically, what this means is as follows. if our pattern, as per the Rishonim, is really saying, the first seven makos of Parshas Vayera were about defeating Paro. Of course they were a Gilish Hashem, right? But a Gilish Hashem shaped and contoured as a phantom battle with Paro. Right? That means that we are imbibe the truth of Hashem in Parshas Vayera, right? By the Hashem versus Paro dualing, right? And the Hashem versus Paro fault line informed what the Gilish Chin of the first seven Makos were, right? And this is why I would suggest in Parshas Vayera, as much as, of course, it says in the beginning of the parasha of Vayera last week, Da'al Lashon HaShal Ge'ula, it says, L'akachti Am Samli L'om V'idatam Ki Ani Hashem. It's about the Jewish people knowing that I'm Hashem. It's Klal Yisrael knowing about Hashem through the Mitzrayim acknowledging. You know how I know that? Because in Parshas Vayera, right before the Makos happen, the Pasuk says, in Parak Zion, Pasuk Hei V'yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, right? Which is implying there's Klal Yisrael knowing, there's Mitzrayim knowing, and Rashi's Mashma, the Mitzrayim knowing about Hashem and Parshas Vayera is really a means by osmosis for Klal Yisrael to acknowledge. It wasn't about spiritually enlightening the Egyptians. Hashem doesn't care about. It was about through the Mitzri defeat, we in turn know this. You see what I just said alluded to in Rashi, when Rashi says on this very narrative of Yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, Rashi quotes the famous pasuk of Nishamu Pinosam Ein Peronius Bala Olam El Bashvil Yisrael. Rashi regarding the Yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem cites the notion of a Peronius happening really for the Jewish people. So Rashi's clearly understanding the Yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem of Parshas Vayera is really to facilitate the Vidatam Ki Ani Hashem at the beginning of the parasha. In a world where Hashem is hot, right? It's not a world in which Hashem is mocked like the world of Hester upon him we live, but it's a world when even the Umas Olam painfully have to acknowledge, yeah? Hashem Elkei Yisrael Melech, that of course affects our acknowledgement of the truth. Now, as much as that's a beautiful thing in Parshas Vayera, V'yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, and hence as we're being Medayik and Rashi and developing the Rashi concept, they acknowledge Hashem, so we acknowledge. If we're only acknowledging due to their acknowledgement, you know what that really means? That really means that we have a Gayisha concept of Hashem, right? If our concept of Hashem in Parshas Vayera, from the very gecko of the Parshas we're being Medayik, is, right? Paro acknowledges painfully, right? Hashem HaTzadik Vani V'Ami HaRasham, right? So we in turn acknowledge it, so it means that our concept of Hashem is being funneled through Mitzri defeat, Mitzri acknowledgement, right? So that's great. It's a first breakthrough. It's no longer a world in which the divine is mocked. The divine is revered and feared, right? But that means that it's their concept informing our concept. It's Pyro's Laman Saper Shmi B'chol Haaretz. You see that pattern throughout the eras we're tracing the many references. It's all V'yadu Mitzrayim, so we know. Laman Saper Shmi, he acknowledges at the end of the Parsha. That's the mission of the era. Parsha's Bo. Laman Saper Pazni B'chu Pem B'chol. It's a Yiddish HaSaga, the final three Makos. And you know what that means on one very basic level? On a very basic level, on a very simple level, Paro is acknowledging Hashem how? Paro's been fighting against Hashem. He has no love relationship with Hashem, right? He's an enemy of the divine. He's fighting and screaming, being forced to acknowledge Hashem HaTzadik V'Aniva Ami HaRashah. Right? So that's, you'll excuse me, a Geisha perspective, certainly an unenlightened perspective. Paro's a tyrant. Well, God's a greater tyrant. He's stronger. Might makes right. Right? And that is how many of the Umas HaOlam look at Kaviyachol deity. He's just stronger. The Yiddish HaSaka, Avram's concept of Elokus, which is fundamentally loving, it's love, it's Tovu Meitiv, which makes him above all others, that fundamentally Yiddish perspective. And as we've discussed in the past, that we are the religion of love. Those who claim to be the religion of love, it's so patently obvious that they're not. because their concept of love means that he babies you and he believes you can't make it and you can only be redeemed, right? You're a sinner and you can only be redeemed by being saying, I believe, and being babied and so on. He doesn't really want a relationship with you. He doesn't trust you. He's not invested in a long-term relationship with you with ups and downs and so on and so forth, but a marital reciprocal relationship with you, a bris with you and so forth. Right? That whole concept of a loving Rabbi Neshama, that's what's emerging here in a parasha which is shifting from Lamant Sap Paros, Lamant Sapar Shemita, or Lamant Sapar Basni Binhu Ben Bincha. The Seder, the three Makos are introducing the Seder story, the Yiddish of Asira. And this is brought up by a splendid pattern. I've mentioned in the past that to truly study the theme of a parasha, you need to find your bookends. Every unit in Torah has bookends. You will always trace something, symmetrical bookends, the beginning and end of the parasha, the sefer, whatever. What are the bookends to Parashas Bo? They must be there. What are the bookends? To me, it's clear as day what the bookends are. It begins with Lamata Sapra Bosni Binchu Ben Bincha. It begins with Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, and how does Parashas Bo end after Yitzias Mitzrayim? It ends with the parashas of Kaddish and Vahayu Kiviyacha, in which it says, "V'higadata levincha b'yomahu leimar," right? Vahayu kiyashalcha bincha. The psukim of the Arba Banim, several of the Arba Banim. Don't you see so clearly? The Seder narrative, a father and a son, are the bookends of parashas Bo. It begins with Lamata Sapra Basni Bincha Bemincha, and it ends with V'higadata levincha kiyashalcha bincha, right? This is the parsha all about the father-son exchange at the Seder, the Yiddish Masaira. And the Yiddish Masaira, which is being related in the parent-child context, in the context of love, and how it's from the position of love that our entire concept of Hashem emerges, as we've studied in the past, and I discuss in my Sefer, how it's through the father-son relationship at the Seder, that the very concept of Hashem as our father emerges, when it's the extent we have a healthy relationship, parents and children, as hopefully manifested the Seder that informs our concept of relationship to Hashem. Of course, those whose domestic relationships are very imperfect, that will always stymie their concept of a loving Rabbi Hashem, which is a very sad thing, right? And this is all Parshas Bo, because it is in Parshas Bo when which climactic makkah happens? Bechairis, Machtas Bechairis. Machtas Bechairis, which was already presciently predicted in Parshas Shmos as a display of the truth. B'ni Bechairi Yisrael, the Jews are my cherished firstborn. So he tells Paro, you start up with my firstborn, I will start up with your firstborn. Right? Rav Avram could attest, Rav Avram, right? He didn't grow up in this 21st century postmodernist period in which we pussyfoot around the truth, right? Back in the good old days, Rabbi Abram, you might have grown up in the 60s, but Rabbi Abram, when you were a child, if someone would start up with your child, what would you say?
My father would beat you, you know what I
mean? Right, we know that, right? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Paro. B'ni b'chori Yisrael Paro, you lay a finger on my child, Klal Yisrael, I'm going to knock out your b'char Paro. Right? Your father's hasaga is actually what a true parent is. You a non-politically correct protector. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is towards Klal Yisrael. That's what a real parent is.
And he was
right?
A survivor.
There you go. That's the Yiddish Messiah. And don't you see how it's all the pattern of Parshas Bo now coming together? This is the Yiddish concept of a loving God, b'ni b'chori Yisrael. A parasha bookended by a parent-child narrative at the Seder. And this is why Parshas Bo is the parasha where Yitzias Mitzrayim happens. Yitzias Mitzrayim is we're leaving Mitzrayim, we're leaving Gentile influence, right? Lachachas l'goy mikar of goy, we're leaving, we're becoming Klal Yisrael. Not only are we leaving Gullus, but we're even leaving Gentile, we're even shedding Gentile religious affiliations. It's not even relating to Hashem as the Goyim do. It's not Pyros Lamont Saprashmi, which is maybe a stepping stone. You know, the notion of a stepping stone that we need a Gaisha religious acknowledgement of Hashem, right? Right? As a stepping stone, you know, that's always a truth. The Rambam famously writes that Islam and Christianity serve a purpose to bring the world a little closer, right? But they're only a stepping stone. The world of Geula is ultimately Molar, it's Deus Hashem, it's the Yiddish concept emerging. Well, that's what's happening in the story. Va'era shifting to Bo, as we're tracing throughout the parasha. Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's the Yiddish concept emerging, right? And this is why Parshas Bo is the parsha which introduces the whole notion of Torah and Mitzvahs, you understand? The first parsha in which we really have Torah and Mitzvahs is Parshas Bo. I just made a very audacious statement, right? But what is, of course, the first mitzvah, the first Yiddish mitzvah anyway? Achodesh Zalacha. Chazal are actually asking the Torah should start with Achodesh Zalacha. The first Yiddish mitzvah is in the parsha. And this parsha introduces the word Torah for the first time. In this parsha, we have the mitzvah of Tefillin, in which says Lamantia Torah Sasha Maficha. Right? It's the first time where in Pshuta Shal Mikra it's referring to the Yiddish Torah. Right? It says Lamantia Torah Sasha Maficha. Observe this mitzvah of Tefillin. So the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. It means that's the Sefer Torah that's here in the yard. Right? The word Torah appeared in Bereishis in a more euphemistic context. Ekev Asher Shama Avram B'Kol Yivish Sorasai. Sorasai. In Pshuto Shemekah means my teachings, something which was shayach before Matan Torah too. Parashas Bo is introducing the notion of Torah, right? Many mitzvahs, Kiddush HaChodesh, Tefillin, right? And so forth, right? Tzipitzias Mitzrayim. That is because this is where the Yiddish notion of Torah mitzvahs. This is not being a religious person. This is the Jewish bris with Hashem. That to me is what the theme which is pervasively permeating or parsha, and it's that love relationship rather than that authority relationship. Pyro's a tyrant, so if you overwhelm it enough in Parsha's favor, he's going to acknowledge it's a greater tyrant. But you know something? So long as you see Hashem as just the Almighty, so long as Shem Elokim is your ultimate, right? So long as you see him as the Almighty, it's still a Gaisha concept. That means right makes right, right? It's only when you acknowledge everything we're conveying at the Seder, which only B'nai B'chari Yisrael could convey, which only the loving parent-child relationship with Bukhan Tzar Parsha could convey. That's the Yiddish concept emerging. That is Torah mitzvahs. And they have no concept. Other religions have no concept of this. I can't but relate in this regard a very personal memory that Mori Rabbi Abnachum Lansky has related. You know, for those who don't know, when you look at those who know Rav Lansky today, you know, he's in a kabbal, he's a very holy man. But, you know, in his youth, he was very interested in the world. He's a very well-read person, okay? By the time he was about 20, he read more classics than any academic with degrees after that. You know, when he was 13 years old, his parents called the police, they say, because he didn't come home, and they found him in the Memphis library reading Nietzsche. Okay, so you understand who you're dealing with here, okay? So even as he got more into learning and moved on to bigger and better things, when he was young, he still had somewhat of an interest. Now I think he's just so enthralled with what he sees in Torah that he, you know, I've discussed modern trends in psychology with him and the like. He's interested, but to him, he's too absorbed in where the real action is, which is Torah, right? But anyway, this is the story which he related. When he was a bachar, Neri Yisrael was a little more of an open-minded place then, and the Mitsuyanim, along with learning, were actually reading other things, and you were a Mitsuyan still, and it wasn't so, sir, right? And he was reading a commentary to the Psalms by a religious, I don't know if it was during B'nai Sman or this man, Ichvestish, but he was reading it and he had no compunctions to discuss with Rabbi Weinberg that he was reading the commentary to the Psalms written by a Christian theologian named Lewis, a very famous Christian theologian. And Lewis couldn't believe it when he studied some of the psukim in which David HaMelech was romanticizing Torah and Mitzvahs and Luli Sayrascha Shashuai and so on. And Lewis eventually wrote, it seems to me that classical Judaism and the Pharisees see religious commandments not as a duty, but actually as something beautiful and even playful. What a remarkable concept! King David believes that the law is playful? That, and I'm not gonna remember, he's like, hello, this is like, This is like, you can't be more basic Judaism than this, right? The fact that to us, right? What? The fact that it's a commandment, don't eat on Yom Kippur, don't be Michal Shabbos, what? We see it as divine, we don't see it as that. It is the most beautiful, it is the most intimate, and everything we're teasing out on a Taisus, and he couldn't believe it. He's like, wow, right? Gayesh HaKap, right? This is your major insight. This is what healthy Judaism is, that we, right? And he actually approached with Weinberg. He said, How could it be this guy didn't convert? He just saw the truth. And if Weinberg did not think it was a question, he did not validate the question, right? But, you know, this is the Yiddish concept of a fundamentally loving love where they see something harsh. Everything they, all their caricatures of the God of the Old Testament, right? Who's with the responsibility, and we just see something else. We're reading it through a different prism. We are, right? It's this is the shift from Ve'era to Bo, I'm suggesting. And from this perspective, we can begin to study the significance of the breakdown of seven makas versus three makas. The number matters, right? It's significant that the Baal HaTurim sing a remez, Bo, Beis Aleph equals three, and it's three makas versus seven. It's not just a cutesy kindergarten, it's the Baal HaTurim, it's the Sodas HaTorah, right? Obviously, this points to the division between seven and three points to what? The Sefiros, right? And Rebbe Tzadok makes this point already, it's Pashat, right? We know Hashem has 10 Sefiros, 10 attributes through which he runs the world. The 10 ordinances of creation, Asar, Ma, Marmar, connect the 10 Sefiros. And to give a very elementary explanation, very, very elementary explanation, right? The ten mitos through which Hashem runs the world, Asar Mamar, Asar Satibris, this is the essence of Hashem's entire relationship to the Olam HaTachton. The way the Svarim explain it is, again, from a human perspective, the Psari Achzalaka, we're going to look at the human condition, and from that, extrapolate kiviyachol, b'tzal melukim, the divine condition, right? We all have midos shebamoach and midos shebalev. We all have intellectual capacities and emotional capacities. And a highly functional person, the cycle of their behavior begins in the mind, right? And then transfers into their emotion. How you think affects the way you feel, which then affects the way you behave. Right, machshava regesh meiser, machshava diber meiser, nefesh ruach, neshama ruach, nefesh. Right, someone who for whom emotion comes before thought is seen by the Svarim as a behemah. Behemahs act on instinct. Right, human beings are not robots. Don't believe for a second anyone who glorifies this cerebral creature who's all about mind and no emotion. That's a robot. That's not. No, we are very emotional. But a successful human being, their emotion is calculated and formed by their hasaga shepamoach. And if I'm not feeling the way I want to feel, if I'm not feeling like I need to feel, I don't have appropriate mindfulness. I need to be mispainin, right? If I'm feeling chalila resentment, if my mitos are not elevated, I'm not a behemoth. Mitos don't dictate who I am, right? Right? It is my responsibility to shift mindset and meditate and focus on how I think affects the way I feel, which will affect the way I behave, right? Which is, of course, the answer to the Ibn Ezra's question about how so many mitzvahs shebelev are dictated. Of course, mitzvahs shebelev are dictated, right? My emotions don't dictate who I am, right? Go to the famous mashal, the master and the dog, who's leading whom? The master, the dog, right? Emotions and mind, who's leading whom? We lead our emotions, not the other way. As the human being starts in the mind, how I think affects the way I feel, which affects the way I behave, as the Svarim say. And this is because we are B'Tzalim Kim Kus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his highest midos are Chachma Bina Das, which we would look at as intellectual capacities, looking at the human perspective. And then the lower seven midos, Chesed Gevur Tefaris Netzach Hod Yisod Malchus, are called Midos Shebelev, right? Kiviyachol Kiviyachol, right? The divine thoughts, which then translate into the divine, we'll call them emotions, Al Darach Mashal, obviously. The three higher midos are not the gully in this world. Just like a human being, you don't really know what someone's thinking, right? No one here knows what I'm thinking, right? You know how I feel, you know how I'm behaving, right? But you don't really know how I'm thinking, right? Thoughts are behester. Yeah, you could deduce from emotions the way a person is thinking, but per se the emotions are behest. The same is true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midas Tachtonius were taught are much more begola. You could see chesed in the Bria, you could see gevurah. From that you could intuit chachma bina das, right? That's the basic concept here. So Parshas Ve'era is revealing the seven lower Midos, and then Parshas Bo is spiraling higher to the three higher midos. Parshas make sense that Parshas Va'era, which is the realm that even the Goyim, even the Mitzvim could see, those are the midos that are gully in this world. If you're not a heretic, you could see the midos that are begully, right? Only Yidden, through the agency of Torah is bringing us into the divine thoughts. Chachmasu shalakadosh baruch. If you want chachma bina das, you need Torah. Hashem invites us into his thoughts. That's uniquely Jewish. You're beginning to understand bo, the Yiddish parasha, l'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. It's the parasha of Torah, the father-son relationship, right? L'manta sapa bazni b'chol ben b'chaz. We started at the beginning and the end of the parasha, right? A father or parent brings a child into their thought process, right? And so on. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with us through Torah. Right, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarisecha V'Karbenu Malkeinu L'Avaydasecha, as I was explained, right, in the Av relationship, it's Torah, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarisecha, because a son, a father brings a parent brings a child into their thought process. You don't simply tell your child what to do. That's a slave master. You do tell your child what to do, but you're imparting a value to them. Brush your teeth, not because simply I said so, but brush your teeth because I'm trying to teach you there's a concept called hygiene, there's a concept called responsibility. A master, on the other hand, just says what to do. Right? So this parasha of Torah is the parasha which is spiraling higher from the revealed midos in this world, which even Gaim could see if they open their eyes, to Hashem bringing us into his thought process. That's what the higher midos are about. Significantly, the higher midos spiral upwards and reach their pinnacle in the Gili of Makas Bechoros, which is literally B'ni Bechor Yisrael. I am going to suggest that is connected, which of the mitos? Chachma, right? Again, the seven lower mitos, right? We could debate which order, we could debate what the order and how the seven makas of parshas Va'era in what sequence they correlate to the seven mitos, right? Is it chesed, gevurah, tefaras, netzach, hodis, or malchus, or vice versa? We could debate that. It's down connected malchus or connected chesed. I think we could have a very good Talmud Chacham debate on that subject. I would suggest that certainly Arba Choshech Bechoros is Das, Bina, and then spiraling up to Chachma. And you know why that's very exciting to me? Because it says in the Zohar HaKadosh that Chachma is connected Av, Bina is connected Ein. Right? I don't have time to explain that now. But the Midah of Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the divine masculine qualities. The Midah of Bina is the divine feminine qualities. Das, which is from the word intimacy, is the fusion of masculine feminine qualities which produce a child. So the highest in the chachma, because we're spiraling up through the divine process, right? As the divine shefas coming down, so you know, feminine conception obviously follows the masculine placing of the seed. Bina follows chachma, right? So we're spiraling up through the divine process. Chachma is going to be the highest midah. Right? Amongst the 10 midos, again, keser is above the midos, right? Which, it's not really a midah. It's called the realm of ayin. Chachma may ayin timatze. Chachma, we're just in the realm of ayin. The ratzon of Hashem, which is higher than these midos, and ritzon olahetiv, and why there's ritzon olahetiv, that's the realm of ayin. We don't understand why he's just loving. No concept of understanding why he wants to be made, period. Be that as it may, which is a very comforting thought. I don't need to understand why he wants to be made to Chachma. We can trace a divine process of Chachma. Chachma Av, that's why B'ni B'chori Yisrael, the highest midah, is connected Av. You hear that, Daniel? Right? Beautiful, it's splendid. Right? So I think you're beginning to see why the three highest midos, all in the parasha of the Yiddish Hasaga, ultimately B'ni B'chori Yisrael. And this is unlike the lower midos, which are revealed in the world. And you'll trace in this regard, at the end of Parshas Va'era, there's a constant focus on the word Aretz, right? I want you to trace a triumvirate of three consecutive psukim and echo, right? Three times over, he tells Paro Makas Barad at the end of Va'era, the end of the Geish, there's a revealed perspective, the Gentile perspective. He tells him in Parak Tes Pasuk Yisdalad, Bavor Teida King Kamayni Bekarifal Aretz, Pasuk Tes Vavati Kachid min ha'aretz and pasuk tezayin olamat sakash mi b'chol ha'aretz. Three consecutive pasuk about aretz. That makes sense because the seven lower midos are all about the revelation in the aretz, like the svarim say, right? The svarim is the seven lower top midos are revealed in the aretz, right? That's why the end of Parshas Va'era has this triumvirate, I believe, of three consecutive pasuk about aretz. But now we're spiraling higher into the divine realm, right? The three higher midos, which are all about avu ben love, right? Again, in the aretz, you don't necessarily see love. one can live in this world. I believe the world is a very harsh place, a place of midas hadin, right? Right? Many people living this life do think they live in a very harsh world, right? But we know through Torah, we are primed to a deeper truth that it's all about love, right? Chachma bina das, and even the harsh times are kikishayasir shespinach Hashem elkachum yasiraka. That is the great revelation of Parshas Bo. I would suggest that this interconnectivity, a lot more to say here. Due to constraints and time, I'll finish with this. Perhaps I'll share later in the week while I tease out more details how the whole Parshas Bo coalesces around this theme. I'll trace from this perspective, I'll make two final points. Number one, the spiraling up of lower midos into higher midos, the Yiddish Hasaka, the loving Hasaka, I believe is reflected in one of the final mitzvahs, the Parshas, the mitzvah of Tefillin, because it's well known that the two Tefillins, the Tefillin Sharosh and the Tefillin Shalyad, right? Tefillin Sharosh connects us to Hashem, the Moach, and the brain. The Tefillin Shalyad, which is connect the lave, connects us to Hashem in the emotional sphere. It's on the yad, so it reflects the emotion becoming action, right? So, right, it's rather apparent that the two tefillins reflect the connectivity of moach to lev, right? Higher midos to lower midos, how I think, tefillin shorosh will affect the way I feel, tefillin shorosh are holier and higher, ki yadu on many, many levels, right? That's why Parshas Bo ends with tefillin, I believe, aside from the obvious explanations that convince Parshas that we see explained, but thematically, summarizes this message that our connectivity to Hashem is based on a revealed pointing towards something higher. I am also going to suggest that the very title and word Bo itself, the name of the parasha, which always reflects its essence, is related to this. The word Bo is a very interesting word. In contrast to the word Lech, going, Bo means coming. Halicha always conveys you're leaving your place of comfort and you're going to some point yonder, some unknown point. Bo, on the other hand, means coming. In Bia, you're always going, coming back to your place of origin. You go to school, you come home. Right? Halicha lebe hasefer. Bia lebais, right? You go to school, right? You come home. So you go or come to shul. I'll leave that question hanging. How much is it your bias? But your home is a place of be. Be is a very homey word. That's, of course, why marital intimacy is called be in the deepest way. Kiyavo, Eleha, everything which bias conveys. This is reflected in the very osios of the word bo, obviously, base to aleph. Base is the second, a destination, a first destination, but pointing towards a source. Base to aleph, it's clearly connected. It's the inverse of av, aleph, base. Right, the emergence from a source and so on. We've pointed out how Bo is all a parasha about fathers and sons. It begins with father and son of the Seder. It ends with fathers and son of the Seder. It points to Bnei Bechor Yisrael. Right, it's all about a parasha of we who are in the base position of Ben, pointing up to our father and his higher realm in the sphere of Elyonos. It's all about Bo. It's all about coming. Right, the inverse of Av. The Ben is looking back at his Aleph. We are in this world, we are in the place of Beis, right? The world was created with the letter Beis, Bereishis, right? Emerging from the Aleph, the source of Anochi, as we see in the Medrash Osius Rabbi Akiva, right? When we look in this world, the world of Beis, and we look back at our source, the Aleph, Av, right? The derivative spiraling up to the loving source, that is the depth of the meaning of Bo. Right? And that is the cohesive meaning of Parshas Bo. All in all, Bo is teaching us that a concept of simply religious belief, monotheism, there is a God, which is a Gentile concept as well. It's a human concept. Human beings can be Maminim, ought to be Maminim. Human beings who are not Maminim live in a very unsavory culture. Right? I'll never forget the psychologist who wrote in the New York Times, if you don't believe in God, fake it for your kids, because people who grow up in a society of atheism are going to bring children into a very cruel world, right? It's a human truth, belief in God. That is not what Torah is about. That's a prereq, right? It's not simply that there's a God. No. It's that there's connection to that higher loving realm. That's where Ve'era is becoming bow, and that is the theme which pervasively permeates the parsha. May we be zaycha to this complete hasaga of Elokus, the loving hasaga, the intimate hasaga. Amen. Kein yehi ratzak. Thank you very much.